is the opportunity to talk wine. We do it each Tuesday at this time. Eric Meehan is here in studio with us from Bangor Wine and Cheese.
Woo! I'm excited for the Metal Fest. I'm sorry.
Are you really?
Yeah, but I'm also excited for Hall & Oates. Yeah. And Sharon Jones. Awesome.
And La Boheme.
I'm excited for, I'm terrified for La Boheme. I'll be honest. See, so anything I have to perform in, I have a special sort of a, but yeah.
See, Eric, you're the voice of reason there. See, we are very much alike. I'm excited for Hall & Oates and also excited for the heavy metal concert coming to the and gracing us in August.
We're just giving you a hard time.
Yeah. I was about to say, I'm just saying, Rich, I'm going to take you to one of these sometime, and you're going to enjoy it.
One of the coolest things I ever saw that happened at any concert ever was actually at a Rise Above Fest, which is a very peaceful concert. Mm. And there was guys who got into a fight. The band that was playing, Trivium, stopped on a dime, told them to stop. They stopped. Then they started again on a dime. Coolest thing I've ever seen.
That is awesome.
And also very righteous. So it was cool.
Very nice.
Anyway, we're here to talk about wine.
And I've got a question. Do you want to start with a question or end with it?
Do it.
All right. We have a listener question. Mark from Holden writes in and says, Eric, does the size or age of a vineyard have any bearing on the quality of the wine?
Oh, that's a really good question. That would dovetail into me mentioning that this month in our monthly wine club that we have through both stores, we're doing actually an old vine wine and talking about that. So you said size of and age of. So there's two questions contained in there. Let's take the age thing first. Old vines, by their nature, produce less fruit but more concentrated fruit. So there's a lot of very, very old vines in the world, and then there's also a lot of very old vines that are ripped up because, frankly, whatever winemaker is working with them will say, we're getting diminishing returns, we can't make enough wine out of this particular thing. You know, we'd have to sell it for, you know, $100 a bottle, and it's never going to do that. So they'll rip it out in favor of some other stuff. Also, of course, if there's disease or anything like that, sometimes you simply lose old vines and you don't want to. So that, yes, old vines are a neat thing. However, beware of the bottles calling anything old vines. There aren't a lot of rules on what is an old vine. There are people who will call a vine that is 15 years old. And then, you know, we're talking about, there's some bottles that I have in my store where the vines are up to 250 years old. That's just an enormous difference. So, but there's a lot of bottles out there that'll call itself, you know, the old vines, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, it does make a difference. Now, the size, not necessarily. It doesn't matter. But, of course, if it's a really, 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 really big vineyard that's probably only being used for, you know, $5 boxed wine, then, of course, the winemaking and everything sort of falls into the, yeah, it's not as good.
Well, last week we were sampling a wine that mass-produced.
So that's the thing. It's, you know, there's ways of treating large vineyard swaths well or not, and you can also horribly mismanage a small little vineyard. One of the most interesting things I ever had was when I was in the region of Beaujolais in France. And we were taken to a vineyard site that was actually owned, you know, each, like, couple rows were owned by different people. And the winemaker we were with showed us his rows, which were all farmed very, you know, naturally. And he said, you know, look at the vines next to it. And they were all, you know, brown. And they looked sort of like vines should look. But he's like, yeah, it's because everything's dead. There's no ground cover. There's no anything like that. It's all sprayed to within an inch of his life. Which is an interesting thing since we're talking about, you know, purity in wines this month. How can you really have pure vines when right next to you they're using horrible pesticides and you're trying to go all au naturel? It's a very, very difficult thing. But very good question, questions. And yeah, absolutely. So leading into this month, we're going to be doing another Spanish wine. We're doing purity in wines this month, and as you'll recall, last week we did a sort of a mass-produced, natural, you know, normally farmed wine. You know, they use pesticides and chemicals when they need to. It's not horribly, you know, like Bob Franzia stuff or anything like that. Yeah, but this week we're going to talk about something that is certified organic. Mm. Okay, and what that means and why. As the weeks go on, we'll talk about why some people decide to not do that particular thing. But this is a wine that is certified organic. And what does that mean in America? Well, this wine is from Spain, from the region of Rioja, right? So most European certifying organizations are not recognized by our government. So even if you're certified organic, by any of the certifying organizations over in Europe, you will still have to pay the USDA to come over and do their thing. That's fine, but it's going to cost a lot of money, probably about $500,000, really, by the time all is said and done. It's going to take you a long time to transition, and we'll talk about, you know, what transitioning is. And so a lot of people opt not to do it. And this is a very interesting wine. This is not an expensive wine. This is a wine that sells for $11.99 on our shelf. It is called Navarre Sotillo. It is a young and sort of young vines. We'll talk about that. Wine, it's made for everyday drinking tonight, but it is certified organic, and the owners of this particular winery take it very, very seriously. It was a family that was farming the land for a long, long time, and then, as very often happens, the next generation comes around and says, hey, why don't we put our own mark on this and, you know, start a winery? And so that's indeed what happened here. So when you're taking a vineyard from traditional farming methods and moving it to organic, you can do that in a variety of ways, but if you're doing it according to the USDA standards and you're hoping for their stamp of approval, it's a 3-year process of that transition. You've got to send them your plan. This is how we're going to do it. This is how, you know, what you have to give them all sorts of soil samples, all sorts of things. So it's a very long and arduous process. You have to fly over inspectors. And when all that is said and done, there's still two aspects of it. Are your grapes organic? Is your facility organic? And those are also two separate things that you can choose to have done. And, of course, if you do both, you will pay more and more and more.
Well, of course.
This is an entirely organic wine, so it's made with organic grapes. It's also, the facility is certified organic by their regional Rioja certification. Right? Okay. While I pass out the wine, I'll touch briefly on something that I was asked as I came in here, the difference between Rioja and Tempranillo. So Rioja, a region in central Spain, very near the region of wine, which was Ribera del Duero that we had last week, so kind of close, using predominantly the grape Tempranillo, so grape which is a fairly quickly ripening grape, which is why you see so much of it in Spain, because something we don't think about in Spain is that Spain is actually, altitude-wise, the second highest country in Europe, second to Switzerland. So a lot of the vineyard land is quite high above sea level, and therefore you need, you know, you don't have a super long drawn out ripening season. So this grape Tempranillo ripens quickly, and therefore was the grape of choice for a lot of wine growers. This also has a little bit of Garnacha in it, and a little bit of the grape Mazuelo, which is a grape that you definitely don't see that much. But a really, really beautiful wine. And
this is fabulous!
Yeah.
Wow. This may be my favorite of all that we've sampled so far. Wow.
And the question is, you know, for $11.99 a bottle, I think it's fantastic that you can sell somebody an organic wine, right? But the question becomes, is it important? Is it absolutely necessary to have that organic certification if it's a wine that you're not, you know, unless you're pumping out tons of it, you're not going to be able necessarily to make a lot of money on because of that. And so it's a very interesting sort of philosophical dilemma that a lot of these winemakers have. And something else that I'm going to touch on, because we're going to be moving into even purer and perhaps more esoteric forms of agriculture, is that there are things that are allowed in strictly organic viticulture that are of questionable sense. Number one being, and this is something that you'll hear about, is the use of sprays to prevent mildew. You can use sprays that contain copper sulfite, which over years, it's usually a blend of copper and lime, and over years that'll get into the ground and groundwater and pollute it. And yet it's absolutely fine by the USDA, you know, organic certification. Huh. So really interesting. And so you see a lot of winemakers not being strictly organic, and that's one of the chief reasons that they'll list is, what's the point?
The most interesting about that is they could have solved the potato famine in Ireland had they known that French monks already knew that copper would kill infestans distopter, whatever it's called, that terrible blight, could have been saved if they'd been drinking French wine and been in contact with them, but they weren't.
There you go. Wine could have saved the day again.
Again.
Again. Although it sounds like it might ruin the day after the segment. I was listening in earlier, and I fear for everybody's life.
It's going to be a scrap.
No. It's going to be a little ugly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm worried about Rich. He's just so scrappy.
We can afford to go by the store and buy it.
See, that's my point. There you go. Well said. A couple things before we end for the day that I do want to sort of shamelessly plug.
Please
here
do.
At yes. Seasons Restaurant.
This is awesome.
March 1st, Tuesday, March 1st, benefiting the Vine Street PTO. So my beautiful little girl is a student there. And Chef Trevor here at Seasons, who is a fantastic, fantastic chef and
sure
very innovative, especially when it comes to his wine dinners. I've done several with him. He really goes above and beyond. He had a child in the same classes. Now they have since moved out to the country. But Chef Trevor was nice enough to do this for us. So it's going to be a $60 per person, all inclusive, tremendous wine education dinner. Chef Trevor has dubbed it Spring Thaw. It's going to be really, really, really. I mean, for $60, it's laughable. So please consider calling either Seasons Restaurant to sign up, or Bangor Wine and Cheese, or Crossroads Beverage. We'll have tickets there, and it is going to be capped at 50 people. So do get in fast, because I'm quite sure it's going
to
sell out.
Yeah, if you have not been to one of Chef Trevor's either wine dinners or his beer dinners, absolutely,
they're
phenomenal.
Tremendous. And a portion of the proceeds, both of the dinner and then also subsequent wine sales from either of the stores, is going to go to the Vine Street PTO. Because they're trying to get those kids a new playground before the one. Well, they say it's safe, but anytime they're starting to talk about that, I have visions of my own childhood playground experiences. And so we want to make sure that those kids are playing on something awesome, and this would be a great way to do that. Also, I'd like to say that we're going to now be doing the wines that we're tasting here in studio are going to be the wines that we are going to be featuring at our monthly tastings in both
love
stores.
It.
Makes
love
perfect
it.
Sense, of course. So if you're hearing about these wines, you're like, wow, I wish that could be in my mouth. It can.
Boom.
And that this month will be the 17th, the Wednesday the 17th in Bangor at Bangor Wine and Cheese, and the 19th at Crossroads Beverage Company.
Message in the bottle every Tuesday on Downtown, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese at 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Massimo's and Fiddlehead. Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Remember that all of our Message in the Bottle segments are up on our website, downtownwithrichkimble.com, and bangorwine.com as well. Really no reason to ever have to miss them. Collect the whole set and amaze your friends.
It's like Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah. Except tastier.
No resale value.
Thanks, Eric. It's 5:35. We'll take a quick break. Come back with today's Good, Bad, and Ugly, and our friend Dennis Price as well. It's Downtown on the Pulse, WZON.